2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Number one.
Miss any part of the show?
Every moment of every show is available in podcast form.
By searching Hanson Scotty on your favorite podcasting platform or online at kslsports.com. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G.
Presented by U First Credit Union.
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5 KSL Sports Zone. Happy Monday. Hope you're all well. Hey, you see all the recruits? Texas is now pulling in after the Arch Manning thing.
I haven't, though.
A couple of four-star receivers. They've reeled in. Could Texas be good again here pretty soon?
No.
I mean, you know the Manning family.
Yeah, they're good. Yeah, and he's going to be good. I don't have any question about that. I did see that Edgerrin James said his son is going to be playing with Texas.
Said, oh, yeah?
Yeah, he said he'll be playing with Arch Manning. Did you see that?
I did not.
Yeah. So apparently Edgerrin James is wanting his son to play with the Manning kid. Sounds like they're definitely in the recruiting race, and they've generated a lot of interest. I just have to wait to see it to believe it, because Texas has been irrelevant for so long now.
Great name, great reputation, but a lot like USC, just
dead for a long time.
Just nothing to show for it.
It's like those two programs sold their soul for the greatest national championship game in the history of the game of college football.
Greatest college football game I've ever seen, 2005 yeah. Rose Bowl.
Yeah, I would say it's up there as definitely – drilled into my mind as one of the best all time.
Yeah. I mean, there might be better, but I can't think of any off the top of the head. But you're right. Ever since then, it's just been downward spiral.
Downward. Some of the greatest characters in college sports that didn't really do a lot in the NFL. Out of those two teams, who was the best NFL player? Liner burned out. Bush burned out.
Vince Young.
Bush was around.
Bush had a career. Like, it just... I think the thing that worked against Reggie Bush is he just didn't have the career that we thought he would have for such a dynamic college player. But I think when you look at his numbers, you're like, well, actually,
yeah,
all right.
He did his thing for a long time.
Who was the other running back? Lindell White didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Vince Young, I think, was rookie of the year, and then he fizzled out after that.
Pretty quick, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So probably Reggie.
Probably Reggie's the best. Are there some defensive players that we're not thinking of on both sides of that?
Was the Maluga? Was he on the field?
I can't remember if he was on that team or not. It would have been close. I want to say he came a little after that.
Was he?
Yeah.
Great teams, but I just want to see it. It's funny because I've seen top recruiting classes at different universities, and universities don't make the most out of it. And I'm not saying that I don't believe in my old teammate. It's just, it's been a long time since we've seen him be productive. How good, how much did he really do at Washington?
Yeah.
How much did he do at USC before he was booted out of there as the head coach? Now, help me, kind of walk me through the line on this, because Steve Sarkisian, I played with him for 1 year, and I really do think a lot of him. I know that he's been to hell and back with addiction and other issues, and I know he's lost a lot along the way. So I want to be very respectful of that. And I do believe people deserve a second chance, sometimes a third chance. It's when you get into fourth, fifth, and sixth that you're like, okay, how many chances do you get before you just need to go to jail for a while? But so I really want him to succeed, and it's not that I doubt him, but when's the last time he was really relevant, Scotty?
All right, so I'm going to go through the year-by-year records for Steve Sarkisian as a head coach. So he spent 5 years at Washington from 09 to 13, 5-7, 7-6, 7-6, 7-6, 8-4. But in the first year in the Pac-12, he went 4-5 in Pac-12 play. His other 4 years, all 4 years, he went 5-4 in Pac-12 play. Just one game over 500. So Pac-12, 4-5, 5-4, 5-4, 5-4, 5-4.
Okay.
So that 8-4 record was a little bit more of a result of non-conference scheduling.
All right.
Then he goes to USC for 1 year, and his first year, they went 9-4 in 2014. Pretty good year. 6-3 in Pac-12 play, tied for second in the South. They go to the Holiday Bowl. They win the Holiday Bowl. They finish 21st in the country in the coaches' poll, 20th in the AP. And then the fight on, baby. And that happened.
That came in the offseason.
That came in the offseason.
At a booster event, wasn't it?
At a booster event. And he starts the year 3-2 before parting ways with USC.
Wait a second. Wait, whoa, 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 whoa.
I think maybe it happened midseason when they cut ties with him.
Hold on. I thought he was fired after the booster event. He was fired into the season?
According to this, he did go 3-2.
Oh, see, I'd totally forgotten that he had gotten into the season. I thought the booster event got him ousted.
He was given a leave of absence. Okay, so on October 11th, he was given a leave of absence.
So into the season. Wow.
He did not show up for a practice on October 11th.
Oh, I remember that.
He was not. Hayden said he became aware that Sarkisian was not healthy. And then the next day, he was fired.
I do want people to understand, and this is from old teammates of mine, that he went through a very rigorous rehabilitation process and fixed himself. So I'm assuming and hoping that he is absolutely clean and full mind and ready to go, because he is primed and ready. He's won the lottery. He won the college football lottery.
Then he goes to Atlanta, was the offensive coordinator for the Falcons. Then he goes to Alabama. And obviously, with that kind of talent, they tore through all kinds of records offensively at Alabama. And then last year, his first year at Texas, 5-7.
Was he 1 year at Alabama as the offensive coordinator?
I think he was several years at Alabama. So 2 years at Alabama.
Okay. I knew it was a short stay.
19-20. Now, if you want to go and look at Lane Kiffin took a kind of a similar path. Was the coach of the Raiders and then Tennessee and never really did anything great, but it seems like he's got him on the right path at Ole Miss. So, and again, he took a meandering path, much like Steve Sarkisian is. And right now, Lane Kiffin's kind of the darling of college football.
Well, the pressure is now fully mounted, and that's interesting. When you land a couple of recruits the caliber that Texas has now landed, you do all that work as a recruiter. Like, you're out there busting your butt, and you're like, you do the work and you get the recruits. It actually puts more pressure on you as a head coach to perform. It, strangely enough, even though your job entails getting the recruits, your job really ultimately is to win. So now he's got all these recruits, and you believe me, every eye is going to be on Arch. And the second Arch is like, I'm not happy here. Steve's gone.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's gone.
Yeah.
A complete rebuild. I'm not getting what I thought I'd get here. It's over.
And that's, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up too, because as everybody's praising Steve Sarkis. What a huge get. This is so big for him. Is it? Is it? Because, look, we all look at Eli and Peyton and even Archie and think, oh, these are just three great dudes. But remember, this is a family that said, no, Eli, you're not going to San Diego. We want to go to New York. And they manufactured a trade to make sure that he did not go to San Diego and play for the Chargers. Instead, he gets to New York and plays for the Giants. Like that was no, I mean, they knew what they wanted. They went out there and got it.
Yeah.
And they were pretty cutthroat about it.
Mannings aren't going to mess around when it comes to football.
And so if they see Sark get a little sideways or they don't like the direction he's going, don't think for a second that they won't cut that dude's throat.
Yeah, there'll be quick movement.
Yeah.
This is going to put a world of pressure. But, you know, you and I were just talking about that Texas-USC game. Wasn't he the – was he the quarterback's coach then? Was Norm Chow the OC?
I think Norm was OC, and then he and Kiffin were both on that staff in some way, shape, or form. So I think Norm was the boss, and then you had, I believe, Sark and Kiffin were both on that staff.
So they've been a part of one of the biggest shows in college football history. They've managed five-star talent. They know what it's all about. So I know Steve is very familiar with it. I'm hoping he's the right guy because he stands to be the first one booted, the first one pinched if this doesn't go right. Even though he's the one that went out and got this all done, well, I'm sure the help of a very solid booster system in Texas Oil.
I'm looking at the 05 staff, and apparently Norm had left by then because Lane was the OC and Sark was the quarterback coach.
Norm left. Maybe it was the year before that.
Must have been the year before.
So I thought Norm was the OC on that. But Steve was the quarterback's coach of that USC team, right?
Yeah.
Working with Leinart?
Correct. Yep.
Well, he's been around it.
Yep. 2001 to 2004, Norm Chow was the OC at USC.
And I want to get
He took the OC job for the Tennessee Titans in 2005.
I'll give my personal opinion of Steve Sarkisian.
I mean, you know him. You played with him.
I think he's a heck of a leader.
Yeah.
I think that he is an underrated BYU figure. You know, we always talk about the greats and I don't need to go through them, but we know what the greats are. And his name is never mentioned. Max Hall's name gets mentioned before Steve's, yeah. Which rightfully so. Max Hall, all-time winning. And you know, Max is... I see Max higher than most, but I thought he was an incredible player. He was a great leader, a great team leader. I've had a couple of conversations with him through his head coaching circuit, and I find him to be extremely level-headed and very candid and endearing. I do know that there are multiple guys that don't get the phone calls and don't get the text returned that, you know, old guys that have connections and there's some hate and anger out there. They feel jilted or left behind. But that just happens in the college football world. These coaches can only hire so many, and I can see coaches just ghost people. It's one thing that I've watched with head coaching gigs, and I've watched relationships change when – guys get the head coaching positions because they'll have up to 100 former teammates that need coaching jobs.
Yeah.
And think that they're the lead candidate because of it. And
my guy's going to take care of me.
So the only negative talk that I get from Steve outside of what we saw on public display, which was horrifying. It was really horrifying. It was horrifying for me to see a guy that I hold in the regard that I hold Sarkisian act like such a fool. That comes down to addiction, and addiction is terrible. It's horrible. It grasps people, and it's unrelenting, and he's gone through it. And I'm telling you, he's lost a lot. through all that. He lost a lot. And he's slowly rebuilding it, and now here he is, the prominent college football coaching name in all of college football because of a recruit that he just got. That just puts the world of pressure on him, doesn't it?
I would think so. Yeah, absolutely.
It just takes every college football eye and puts it right on Texas, and then they're like, now this Arch Manning, the Texas Longhorns, on who's the head coach? Oh, Steve Sarkisian. Oh, let's see how he does. I think the jury's out for him as head coach. He's a bit of a legend as a coach, but he's not a legend as a head coach.
Well, and that's the thing. There isn't a guy that's got a bigger name that has done less than maybe Sark, and then maybe throw Kiffin in the mix on that too.
Hey, if even with you know all of this taking place in a year, right?
Yeah.
Arch Manning's coming into his senior year, right?
Yeah, he will not be on that team until 23.
So just so everybody understands, this upcoming year is going to be really important for Steve Sarkisian. I could see them firing him in the middle of the season.
Ooh, you think so?
I think Arch is attached to boosters, not Steve.
Well, I mean, they're saying all the right things about how it was specifically the relationship with Sark.
I hope so. And that could be the case.
But you're right. I mean, I'm sure it was a matter of hey, you know, we're going to get you $10 million over the course of your 3 years you're going to be here. Like, I'm sure there was a lot of that, and there was a bidding war. You're right. I don't disagree with that at all. But when you publicly said as many things as you've said about Sark and the relationship and how he connected with you better than anybody else, mm-hmm. it would be tough to fire him. But it's Texas, and if they go 4-8, then it's pretty hard not to.
Well, I could see him starting. Let's say they start 1-5.
Yeah.
I could see everybody buzzing around like, how close are they with this recruiting class? How close is he with Arch? If we let him go and we get in the most prominent name, we take that same money that we just went and bought Arch Manning with, we go buy Nick Saban, or we go.
Or Sean Payton, who's just floating around.
Yeah, we go buy Sean Payton.
Because I guarantee if that does happen, the Mannings will be single-handedly making that hire. That will be – that AD down there would be like, yeah. Hey, well, I've got a few – and they're like, no. If you still want Arch to come here, this is the coach you're going to hire as your head coach.
It's such a huge win for Texas to get Arch.
Yeah.
But it's also a big loss.
Yeah. It's going to be a big pain in the butt for him, for sure.
That's how it feels to me. It'd be like for instance – well, no, because that's a bad comparison. I was going to say Kyrie Irving has now got freedom to go and seek the trade and the team. And I know all of us look at Kyrie as an amazing one-on-one player, incredible basketball skills. But the team that wins the Kyrie Irving lottery, do they really win? You know, it comes with some pretty harsh realities.
Yeah.
And I just think that this Arch Manning thing, it's great. It's fantastic. I just think it puts a lot of pressure on Steve Sarkisian, even in this upcoming year, without Arch on the field, unless it is all about that relationship. Now, if it's about that relationship, he probably just locked himself down in 5 years.
Yeah, but I also think, regardless of the relationship, if the Mannings feel like you're not going to be the one to get him to where he needs to be, you're gonzo. And let's be honest, Arch is going to be the number one pick in the NFL whenever he goes.
Yeah.
And so you're just biding your time because it's just a matter of just making sure he's in the, you know, that he stays healthy and improves. And it's just, they're just waiting until his 3 years expire so he can go make the jump.
I hope that he is the quarterback he's billed to be. I hope he makes the transition.
Apparently he's
physically and mentally.
He's Eli and Peyton with some level of athleticism.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of amazing things about him.
We'll see.
You know what was shocking?
Who do you think has more pressure and more eyes on to see how they perform their individual sport? Arch Manning or Tiger's kid? Charlie.
Tiger's kid.
I think you're right. Yeah. That poor little dude, man.
Even though golf doesn't have the buzz, the thing is, yeah. I don't know. You, how old was Tiger when he turned pro? 18?
I don't know. 19, 20, around there. Pretty quick. I think he only played a year or two at Stanford.
I was going to say that Arch has the pressure as a college kid, and it'd be the pro tour, but you know, if Tiger's kid gets up to grade, he can enter the tour as soon as a kid can enter into college football,
yeah.
Essentially.
Tiger was 20 when he turned pro. 96.
He was 20.
Yeah.
And then lapped the field at the Masters the next year. Jeez.
I think Tiger's kid probably feels that pressure.
You wouldn't notice, though, when you watch him out on the course, man. Their swing is so – it's so similar. It's identical.
Honestly, I don't think that there will be an individual and he'll feel pressure on himself to win, but the microscope of the sporting world will be more on Tiger's kid than it will be on Arch. Like, I think yeah. I think the bullseye is so squarely on that kid – it's almost unfair what he's going to have to go through. Now, he'll make a ton of money.
Not a team game either.
And it's not a team game. He can't blame anybody. Like, this kid is going to just be under such intense scrutiny.
I'm just looking at him. Let's see. You were just saying that he's, you know, kind of the physical attributes of Peyton and – or kind of the attributes of Peyton and
Eli.
The craziest thing about meeting Peyton for the first time was he was looking me eye to eye. He's actually about a quarter inch taller than I am. Peyton is.
Yeah.
And that's always a bizarre thing when your quarterback is taller than you. And he's broad. Peyton, he's a big guy. So I remember meeting him and thinking, oh, eye to eye, or he's slightly taller than me. I'm just seeing. I think Arch is 6'4". Arch is listed at 6'4". So, yeah, still very similar to the height and the arm strength and everything that the Mannings bring to the football field. It's understandable why he's got the promotion behind him.
Oh, yeah.
But now you do all this work. Think if you're Steve Sarkisian. You do all this work. You just got him. But now, in today's college world, you just have to retain him. You're going to be recruiting him every single day.
Yeah. Every day.
Every day.
All right. Hands of Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Miles joining us once again from Wasatch Medical. And Miles, let's talk about the assessment. Let's say you're struggling in the bedroom. ED is an issue. You know it. And you want to get it squared away. And you call 801-901-8000. You set up your free consultation, your free conversation with a physician. What actually goes on and what's that process like?
Oh, well, you're going to meet with our healthcare provider, and what we're going to do is give you that first initial assessment exam and blood flow ultrasound. And that's going to tell you about where you're at with your ED. Like, unfortunately, there's no one size fits all for ED treatment, but we have definitely, with our non-invasive and pain-free treatment, made some big strides with gentlemen who are struggling with ED in the bedroom.
So you find out that you have this and you know you need to get it taken care of. Talk about what the acoustic wave therapy is like and what people can expect.
You bet. So this is a technology, not a pill with all its side effects. The machine itself looks a little bit like a small ultrasound machine. It's placed on the skin where gentle pressure waves travel through the skin into the blood vessels, causing them to expand to allow for more blood flow. And as you can imagine, more blood flow means better results.
801-901-8000. That's 801-901-8000. It's not the blue pill. It's not injections. It's not surgery. There's a process that's going to get you back on track within a matter of weeks. It's acoustic wave therapy available for you at Wasatch Medical. 801-901-8000. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
The NBA draft was filled with excitement and intrigue for the Utah Jazz.
Boring.
Okay, well, maybe the draft was a dud. But hey, the offseason is just getting started.
Everybody better brace themselves
for all the latest insight and analysis on the Utah Jazz. Keep it locked on your exclusive home of Utah Jazz basketball. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Good here, though?
Yeah. Man, nothing wrong with Bruce. I mean, you got to listen to the lyrics. It's not all cotton candy and roses if you listen to this song. It's giving a pretty honest assessment of what's going on in the country. Anyway.
It's catchy.
Oh, it's the best. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Come on. Okay, so I'm always a little confused on your music choices. Bruce Springsteen.
Not a fan. Not a fan of the Boss.
Okay.
They call him the Boss, right?
Yeah.
Not a fan.
Maybe he called himself the Boss and he just caught on.
But I'm not going to tell you. I'm not. There's actually some gray area. I'm not hate-filled about it.
But it's not something you're going to seek out.
Right. I do like... I like this song, and then... What is it? Philadelphia? What's the street of Philadelphia?
Oh, yeah.
Streets of Philadelphia, I think.
From the movie?
I never watched the movie, so
I didn't watch the movie either. But that it was the song from the soundtrack.
Is that what it is? Yeah. That song is phenomenal. But no, I'm not a fan. Don't seek out his music much.
Can't say I'm overly surprised by that. Mm. Same, really. Honestly, now don't say that to Kyle Whittingham.
Is he a big Boss fan?
Loves Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, not me.
Yeah, Kyle. We actually did something on the Jake's going to be in his car cursing because there's a backstory to this. But we actually, this was like 05, 06. We had a classic music contest, trivia contest between Kyle Whittingham and PK. Because PK is a music buff, yeah. As we all know.
Yeah.
You may not know this. He goes to a few concerts throughout the year.
He claims.
And let's just say.
Yeah, I don't think he claims.
Let's just say Kyle. One fairly convincingly.
How convincing? Wait, why? There's something behind this. What is this?
No, I'm just saying. Like, I think Jake and I were producing it. And
did Coach? It was a trivia.
Yeah, it was a trivia. Like we had Kyle was on the phone, but essentially we went every other. There wasn't like a buzzer or anything like that, and so we had a bunch of questions, music history trivia questions, mm-hmm. and we went every other one. And if a guy missed it, then the other guy could come back and. Get that person's point.
Steal the point?
Yeah.
And Witt won? Did he win?
Witt won handily.
This sounds like a music arm wrestle.
Yeah, it was about like that, Lloyd, honestly.
Sounds like it.
How did PK take it?
Probably wasn't thrilled about it.
Did he storm out of the room?
Did not storm out of the room, no.
Oh.
By the way, I think that video may have made the rounds.
Yes.
I think the only way.
Did you tweet it?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
But I think it got back to all parties involved.
What I'd like to do is have a sing-off between Witt and PK and really settle this.
I don't think anybody wants to hear that.
Yeah, you're right.
Nobody wants any part of that.
Well, only half of that.
Yeah, you're right.
You think Witt can sing?
No.
I don't know.
No.
There might be something there he might be able to break out.
No.
See, I would hear you. I wouldn't think you'd be able to nail Neil Diamond like the way you do, though. But you do. Like, you nail it.
Because, yeah, it's in my blood. Like, it's.
I just don't feel I don't necessarily feel like your voice matches up with, but
Lloyd,
it does.
Lloyd brings up a good point. There's some people you hear him talking like, I bet that person's a good singer. You know?
Yeah.
You don't necessarily give off the vibes as a particularly great singer.
Yeah.
But then when you freaking let her rip.
Belt out
it's
Neil
like,
Diamond.
Oh my gosh, here we go.
I can handle
like
a
double take. I got a double take and be like, wait, is Neil here?
But then, you know, Bowler has one of the most gold and silky voices in the world. He did a pretty darn good Johnny Cash the other day. Just needs to brush up on the lyrics a bit.
Tighten up a little bit. Yeah. All right. Enough of that. Let's get to it. It is time for number 48 in our top 60 in 60.
Here we go.
Now let's get this party started.
This is the top 60 in 60 as the Zone counts you down to the start of the 2022 college football season. And now it's time for today's selection as voted on by the local sports media and you, the fan.
The Aggies used the transfer portal to help bolster their roster for a championship run in 2021. And our next selection is another transfer who is expected to make a major impact for the Aggie offense in 2022. At number 48, from Utah State University, 6'2", 205-pound receiver, Brian Cobbs.
Utah State University head coach, Blake Anderson.
Brian Cobbs, the Maryland transfer with 1 year left to play, has been a pleasant surprise. Came out of Maryland, has 50-some-odd catches in the Big Ten, stepped in, and day one started showing up in spring ball, was very consistent. His ball skills are off the charts good. I expect him to have a great season. Been a huge get for us.
This is the Top 60 in 60, presented by Cypress Credit Union, where your future is our future. Top 60 in 60 on 97.5 1280 The Zone.
All right, he's not a household name here in Utah yet, but I have a sneaking suspicion that he is going to put up some really big numbers in that Utah State offense. Couple reasons why. Number one, it's a great system, and wide receivers are usually going to flourish in that system. And then number two is that Utah State lost everybody from a wide receiver standpoint. Derek Wright, gone. Devin Tompkins, gone. Brandon Bowling, gone. Carson Terrell, gone. Those are your top three receivers, and your top tight end are all off that team. So you've got a high-powered offense that throws the ball all over the place. You run 80 to 90 plays per game. Somebody is going to get the yards. Somebody's going to get the catches. And I think Brian Cobbs, when it's all said and done, it very well could be your leading receiver at Utah State next year.
Do you know how many passing plays, that how many attempts or
last year?
Yeah. Was it closer to 50
attempts? Like per game or?
Yeah.
Well, I can give you the total and we can divide it by 14 here. Hold on a sec.
The reason I ask is I can't think of a university that would have had more pass plays just based off the way they run their offense. And I'm currently sending out the videos of Brian Kopp. And one of the videos that I'm sending, Scotty, is a one-handed grab that just kind of shows his athleticism.
36 attempts per game.
That's where Logan was? Or that's
no, for the entire team.
The team was?
Yeah.
It's a little bit lower than I would have thought.
Yeah, they do. They are committed to running the football.
Yeah.
I mean, they do want to run the football.
And they're going to run a lot with Calvin Tyler this year.
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to be one of the most productive running backs in the state, I think. Calvin Tyler?
Yeah, I think he's – in fact, Utah State had more rushing attempts last year than they did passing attempts.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you had the leading receiver in the country off that team.
I mean, they had a 2,000-yard season running the ball, but still only 3.62 yards per carry. There were times that they really struggled running the football, but they stayed committed to running the football. But this is a player that they're very excited about. It. He's big in terms of compared to Devin Tompkins, and I don't think he's going to put up Devin Tompkins-like numbers, but I do think that he quite possibly could be a 1,000-yard, 10-touchdown season. for Utah State next year.
Oh, yeah.
He had a tremendous spring, was with the team during spring ball, and got a lot of attention. They're really fired up about him.
The other – so I'm sending out this one-handed catch. And the other thing I'm sending is out of a play action. It's a drag route. It's a crossing route, but coming across the field, it shows his vision to see the passing pocket. It shows his hands, and then it shows his ability to turn the shoulder and get up the field. So two videos coming out for Brian Cobbs. And again, like Scotty mentioned, you haven't heard of him. You probably haven't seen him because he played for Maryland. And he was on the field, it felt like, every snap that I looked at for Maryland. But he was constantly doing things away from ball, and I could tell defenses were focusing on him a lot. So Maryland pushed it around to other receivers quite a bit. But you can still tell that he's a highlighted receiver for Maryland.
Yeah.
And he also does a lot of things, or did a lot of things for Maryland. And it's not like he racked up 100 touchdowns. But he blocks extremely well. I was going to include in one of my breakdowns, he blocked off of a screen that went for a touchdown out of a bunch set, and basically took a safety that was walked up, or it might have been a nickel, I couldn't tell, and just ran him down, absolutely ran him down. But I'm just putting out the two videos, the one-handed catch, and then you'll see the crossing route and his ability to turn up field.
There were moments in spring ball where he was pretty much unguardable. So I think there's a lot of excitement there.
That's what Coach Anderson made it sound like right there.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to it. Good, the bad, the ugly. Top 60 and 60. Brian Cobbs coming in number 48. But now let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly.
It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Good, the bad, the ugly right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. All right, it's the good because, well, frankly, it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But there is a basketball card, a 2020-2021 Panini Flawless Triple Logo Man LeBron James card. Only one of them was made. It sold for auction the other night for $2.4 million. Features a cut from a player's jersey, some of the most sought after cards in all of trading cards, blah, 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 whatever. But anyway, there's only one in existence. There's one for Draymond Green, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, about 10 other players. And they all go for quite a bit of money because they're so rare. But you imagine having enough money where you can just throw $2.4 million for a little piece of paper?
No, I'll never get it. I'll never understand it. I don't understand how they hold their value. And over the last year and a half, we've never seen card value or sports memorabilia value skyrocket like we are seeing it do over the last year and a half.
Yeah.
I'm not a value historian, but I've followed these auctions for the better part of 15 years, watching card values, knowing what the Holy Grail from the Honus Wagner card to, you know, these LeBron James with the fabric attached to what's gone on with Kobe Bryant through his passing. And I've never seen memorabilia do what it's doing.
Yeah. Now, apparently,
it's not going to hold this value, is it?
No, and apparently there were some out there. It has cooled a little bit because they thought this card might exceed the $6.6 million that the latest Honus Wagner went for last August. And they thought this card might be able to exceed that number, but apparently it's cooled enough that it only went for $2.4 million. So
what's weird is we're seeing current players' cards break records. Like, LeBron is still on the court. He's not – this isn't even a historical card.
Yeah. It was from two – it was made 2 years ago.
Exactly. And you're paying over $2 million for it? And the other thing that is fascinating to me, you know, a lot of these guys that are spending the money on these cards are business owners, big business owners, and it's always incredible to me that they'll buy their cards or their coins the way they do and treat employees the way they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll spend over $1 million on a coin, but you'll let three or four of the most critical components of your business go? Huh. That's bad decision making. Luckily, they're back. And things are going much better.
Much better. New ownership, much better.
You know, I get it. It's your money. Spend it the way you want to spend it. But I think people have more value than coins and cards. And the other thought I had with sports memorabilia, if our country ever does like hit really hard times again, all that stuff does is becomes toilet paper.
Yeah. Fuel for a fire.
That's it. Yeah. You know, you go back to Depression era times, and I know that there are masterpieces and, you know, pieces of work from the Victorian eras that are extremely irreplaceable, but a LeBron James card, yeah, you toss that in the fire to keep yourself warm for an extra 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Because that guy does nothing. He means nothing historically, but people love him.
Hey, look, like I always say, you're worth what somebody's willing to pay, and these cards are worth what people are willing to pay, so God bless them, I guess. I don't know.
That's incredible.
All right, there's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
Well, Colorado Avalanche, Scotty, they secured their third Stanley Cup. It was an amazing night for the Olsen home as we celebrated our fandom. But
come on. We needed a celebration video.
Yeah, why didn't you?
Lloyd, do we have the audio?
What is this?
You should have.
You didn't see the video I sent you?
Of our boy Eric?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah. I would love to hear the audio. Do we have it?
Our guy Eric Jensen, who produces B's game. He produces my Utah State games.
Second biggest Lancer fan on this station.
Right behind you.
I think he just became a fan this year, though.
Who?
Eric.
Oh, well, good for him.
Stop. So,
don't do this to Eric. Although, he's a diehard Broncos fan. I'm like, how long have you been a Broncos fan? He's like, you know when Peyton won the Super Bowl? I'm like, that was 2015. But then I remember the guy's like 20 years old.
Yeah, he's young.
So you got to take that with a grain of salt. But yeah, he got a little loose on Twitter last night and started posting videos of himself.
The Stanley Cup! Yeah! The Stanley Cup! The Stanley Cup is mine! Woo! Woo! The Stanley Cup! Yes! Just won the Stanley Cup! Woo! Woo!
Yes! Yes!
Woo! Oh my God! Woo! The Stanley Cup!
Put this on again until we won the Stanley
Cup! Won the Stanley Cup!
Stanley Cup!
We won the Stanley Cup! Woo! We won the Stanley Cup! We won the Stanley Cup! Yes! We won the Stanley Cup! Stanley Cup!
Oh, I love the passion so much.
I'm telling you.
That's our guy, Eric.
He that guy.
We won the Stanley Cup!
Is it so? I don't know. Maybe he is a bigger Lancer fan than me.
I didn't see your video.
Yeah. I'll tell you why. Because Mr. 400 posted one a couple years ago that it was just cringeworthy. And it was like, not sure fan celebration videos are the best. But Eric's bringing it back.
Yeah, but no, that one was more natural. One of them was like, okay, let's rewind the DVR and tape a reaction.
Yeah, you're right.
We won the Stanley Cup!
Oh, he sounds hoarse. I think he didn't turn on the video until he'd probably gone for a good 10 minutes. Well, good for him. Well, anyways, the bad of all this. So the star wing for the Avalanche. His name is Nicholas Aboukubel, and he is...
Nailed it.
Oh, yeah, because I'm a fan.
Yeah.
Went to three games. He got a little bit overexcited, and he had the Stanley Cup in his arms, and he was skating towards the team picture, and his skate caught his other skate. You wouldn't think that he just won the Stanley Cup as a hockey player.
Yeah, tripped
over his own skate and slammed the Stanley Cup down on the ice and dented the whole bottom end of it.
Did he? Oh, I saw the video. I didn't know it got dented.
Oh, it smashed the bottom end in.
Oh, no.
It dented the whole side. Is there only one Sir Stanley? Or have they made multiple?
That's a good question. Because I think there's only one.
Because we've seen this cup go through a lot.
Yeah, that thing's seen some things. And apparently there's some things that they say that you don't want to know.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, could you imagine?
Yeah.
Holy cow. Stuff well beyond somebody getting wasted and trying to throw it from boat to boat. You know, like we saw with Tom Brady. Like things talking.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't want to know.
You don't, yeah. You don't come back from that.
But, yeah, he slipped, or not slipped, he tripped over his own skate and smashed the Stanley Cup down in the ice. I did see a video of the Stanley Cup keeper, because there's an actual keeper of the cup. Did you know that?
I did not.
The keeper of Lord Stanley's cup. Yes. Yes.
And he did an interview, and he was like, we'll get it fixed. He's like, but you could see in his face, he wanted to just unleash hell on everybody for tripping with
the
cup.
Can we stop throwing these trophies out through from one boat to another and doing stupid stuff like this? Come on.
I know. Be respectful.
By the way, did he delete it? Says this tweet is unavailable.
No.
I tried to retweet it. Eric, you didn't delete that, did you?
Please tell me you didn't delete that celebration, Eric.
Well, it'll live on forever.
Why does it say their system? Tweet? This tweet is unavailable. I think it's still working.
I will tell you that I absolutely that kid is one of my favorite.
So if you don't know Eric, he does a lot of work for us. He's a really good dude.
Does a
good
podcast.
Up and comer, does a podcast.
NFL podcast. It's awesome. Does his homework. He comes from a point of deep passion and love for the sport. He's got an analytical mind. I'm sure he would consider himself this. He's quirky. He's just different. He's different than all of us. And in a moment of pressure, not knowing whether to call me Hans or Hans, he called me Hoynes.
Hoynes, yeah. You got him rattled a little bit.
I got to tell you, I don't fall in love with a lot of people that call me Hoynes, but his work ethic has really done it. He's a great kid.
And he is a guy that Lloyd actually, because he's very passionate, as you can tell, about his job and things that he's interested in. And he's very passionate about doing a good job. So Lloyd tried to get him to relax at work a little bit.
Oh, you pranked him.
No.
Oh,
what are you doing?
You went too far.
Actually, it's 1:54 and we have another
actually,
segment here. No.
You went too far with our guy.
Maybe. Nah. Maybe. I don't know.
Lloyd, would you like to say?
I feel like he's loosened up right where I want him right now.
Oh, so you're taking credit.
Yes.
Because your
thanks to me.
Your techniques aren't necessarily world-renowned. Like that could have backfired on you in a big way.
But I feel like the guy has really.
Pranks are pranks, but, you know.
Really? You want to talk to me about pranks right now?
No.
Let's get Nate in here. Where's Nate?
No.
He's still out here somewhere.
Dude,
let's talk to Nate.
Can we please get to break?
Oh, so now you want to get to break.
I don't know. I still think we need to talk about what you did to him.
No, we don't. No, we don't.
Right. As Eric's boss, did you or did you not?
I did actually make him think somebody stole his bike once.
Okay, but did you make him think he was without a job?
No. No, Lloyd. That didn't happen.
Lloyd?
Okay.
I'm going to get Eric's side.
Yeah.
Yeah, you will.
All right. Hands of Scotty coming up next. Little whole world news straight ahead right here on the Zone Sports Network.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
Why is it like mood lighting in there?
He's trying to fix his dopamine. Lloyd is turning the production studio into a wellness center.
This is how I've always done it. I've always had it dimmed. Everywhere I've been. That's how I do it.
It's weird. What are you really doing in there?
I got sensitive. The light, bright lights bother me.
Sensitive.
I like it a little darker.
Dopamine levels are off.
Hear Jake Scott and Ben Anderson every day from 10 to noon on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Wilson, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Clock's a great song. Yellow's a good song. They're all good songs.
I think you got that one actually right.
You actually did. I was looking at you like, I was like, wait,
is this really Clocks?
Yeah, it is.
Actually,
well,
it's Son Clocks. Of a...
Well, because Lloyd usually plays scientists and you call it Clocks.
Oh, shoot.
I'm so glad it didn't work this time. Do we have time for Whole World News? No. Oh. It's a good one today.
Lloyd's saying no dice.
Lloyd's ruining the fun.
Yeah. All right. Well, I tell you what, if the fun's getting a little ruined in your life in the bedroom, Miles is here to help you out with Wasatch Medical. And Miles, I know there's a lot of guys out there that may be struggling in that bedroom, and they've been on the little blue pill forever. And the problem is you get on that thing for a long time and the side effects get worse because you have to take more of it. I mean, that's not a fun cycle you're stuck in.
That's right. And you know what? We're talking about clocks. Well, guys, if you're suffering from ED, the time is now. Get off the pill, get rid of those nasty side effects, and come see me for some acoustic wave therapy, the non-invasive, pain-free way to treat your ED.
All right, so I every now and then you get some questions from people, and they always say, like, hey, I've got a friend who would like to know more about what's going on. I'm like, sure, okay. but here's the thing. Is the process, you talk pain-free, it's a painless process, correct?
It's not only painless and non-invasive, it only takes about 15 minutes. We call it the lunch break treatment. Those gentle pressure waves travel through the skin into the blood vessel, opening up, allowing for more blood flow, sometimes repairing themselves. 15 minutes, you resume normal activity right away.
And this is it's got an end date. It's not something you have to do a couple times a month for the rest of your life. This is, I mean, you mentioned earlier in the show, you could be all wrapped up by the 24th.
That's right. And you could see some different types of fireworks. And if you call me now, for free, you're going to get that exam assessment and blood flow ultrasound, plus that additional gift that provides powerful results in the bedroom. So if you're ready to get rid of that ED, just pick up the phone and give us a call.
Come on, free. That's where it's at. 801-901-8000. Just call, get the information, take advantage of the free assessment, and then decide from there. But you need to take advantage of it right now. 801-901-8000. It's 801-901-8000. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.